Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, amen. If you need one of our lesson guides, if you'll raise your hand, Miss Karen and Mr. Wayne will bring you one, all right? Just raise your hand up if you don't have one of these and open up your Bible to the book of Daniel, all right? The book of Daniel. We're studying these great topics. And by the way, so you'll know, the little music makers. Now, our other two choirs stay in here during the sermon, but our little music makers, we let them go out because the preaching just disrupts them. It just disrupts them, okay? So we let them exit during the preaching time, but they're here for most all of it. All right, let's do a quick review of all the Bible characters that we've looked at here real quickly, and y'all see if you can remember, because repetition is the mother of learning. Number one, if you see the little small print at the top, the one thing David would probably say is what? The what is the Lord's? The battle is the Lord's, all right? Then we talked about the Apostle Paul, and he said we should finish well. Very good. All right. Joseph, we talked about Joseph and the message of Joseph's life. You meant it for evil, God meant it for? Very good. Barnabas, never give up on people. That's right. Esther, do right and leave the results to God. That's good. Samson, sin blinds, binds, and grinds. That's the message that Samson would give us. And then last week, we talked about John the Baptist, and he said that he, referring to Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease, all right? Very good. Well, this is important as you think about these Bible characters, and if they were here tonight and they could speak, these are the things we believe they would say. Now, tonight I want us to look at Daniel, and I want you to look at the very first chapter and the very first verse, all right? In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim of Judah into his hand, and some of the articles of the house of God which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. Verse 5, and the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Verse 6, now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Number one on our lesson guide is this. Daniel was born under the reign of Josiah. I-A-H, Josiah. We read about this in 2 Chronicles 34. Now, we're not going to turn there, but in 2 Chronicles 34, it talks about young King Josiah. Now, Manasseh had been the wicked king in Judah for 55 years. For 55 years, they had had a king that did not regard God. Now, Ammon was Manasseh's son, and Ammon was so wicked that his own servants killed him in his own house. They wanted to get rid of him so bad, and so he was killed in his own home. But Josiah was his son, Ammon's son, and Josiah was a young man when he became the king. And as best we understand history, Daniel was a young man when Josiah was the king. Well, let me tell you what happened under Josiah. Josiah was part of a movement of God. There was a revival that took place in Judah among God's people that was unprecedented. What happened was Josiah was rebuilding Solomon's temple. He was reconstructing part of Solomon's temple, and they found the law. They found the Bible. And they brought the Bible to Josiah, and Josiah said, wow. And he began to read it, and he immediately put on sackcloth and ashes because of his sin. And he decided that the Word of God needed to be read among the people, and a great revival swept into the land. And so this was the environment of Daniel. Daniel, as a young man, saw that. Now, let me just take a little parenthesis right here and say this. If we ever needed to live in a sense of revival, we need to right now. And I'll tell you why, for these kids right here. Daniel was the man he became because he was around the movement of God in his life. He saw it among his people. He saw that revival that took place under Josiah. Praise God for Josiah. Because under Josiah, this young man Daniel, this little guy Daniel, saw God moving. And when we get to the point in the story that we're going to get to, we see that Daniel had convictions. Why did he have convictions? I believe part of it was that he had seen a culture of revival taking place. People that had a heart for God's Word. For 57 years, no one had cared about the Bible. And then this young man, Josiah, said, no, we need to read the Scripture and call people to accountability. Matter of fact, he reinstated the Passover. Matter of fact, just look in your Scripture real quickly to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 23. Just find that passage of Scripture. I probably should have had them find it on the screen, and that we would save a little time. 2 Kings 23 and verse 22. This was the Passover that Josiah reinstated. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. That was Josiah. My Bible, I don't know if your Bible has little headings. My Bible has a heading at the top of this page that says Josiah's righteous reign. If you want to read about it, we don't have time tonight, but you read in 2 Chronicles 34 and you read in 2 Kings chapter 23 and you read about Josiah. Sometimes we see these great characters in Scripture, and we forget that there were people in their lives that impacted them. And adults in this room, we need to be right with God because we got little ones coming behind us. Amen? Boy, that was one weak amen. But that's okay. I know it's, you know, it's 6:44 on a beautiful day. I'm just glad you're here. Amen? That was a better amen. Good. But let me say this, folks, we have a responsibility, let me tell you, in our families, in our church family, everywhere we influence, we have a responsibility because we've got little ones coming behind us and young people coming behind us. And if we expect them to take a stand for Jesus one day, they need to see it in us. And just kind of a milquetoast Christianity that we're living is not going to cut it with this culture. We've got to have people with backbone, and Josiah was that kind of a king, and praise God for him. Now, as we think about number two here, Daniel was captured by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So the blank there is captured, and we just read that, Daniel 1, verses 1 through 8. Now, what did Nebuchadnezzar do? The first thing he did is he gave them new names, letter A. He gave them new names to change their identity. To change their identity. You see, Satan wants us to identify with his world. He's never happy when we are identified with Jesus. He wants us to be identified with the world. And so one of the ways that Nebuchadnezzar did that is he changed their names, and it's listed there. We read it. Belteshazzar, which is the name they gave to Daniel, means may Bel protect his life. Bel was an idol. Bel was a heathen god that the people in Babylon worshiped. So they changed his name from Daniel, which I believe means, and God will judge, talking about the God Jehovah. They removed that name and said, no, we want to give you the name, may Bel protect his life. Shadrach means the command of AQ, which is the moon god. Meshach means who is what AQ is. Abednego means the servant of Nebo. So he gave them all these false names in order to change their identity. You see, that's what the devil wants. He wants compromise. He doesn't want us to be identified with Jesus, identified with God. You know, if you take they have done surveys of Christian ethics, surveys of those in the church, those out of the church. And you know what, unfortunately, they find too often, church? They find that we have the same moral and ethical standards that people that don't even go to church have. I mean, there's no difference about the way we're living. Now, folks, we know that the way we live is not what causes us to receive the grace of God. We receive that because we are sinners and we need his grace, right? But because we have his grace, it ought to help us to go out of these doors and live a different kind of life. The devil wants us to live no different than everybody else out there. You know, someone said this to me one time, and I can't remember the specifics of it, but they said, just because something is legal doesn't mean it's ethical. You know, as a Christian, we have a measure of ethics that supersedes the legal system, because we not only answer to our government, we not only answer to the law, but we answer to God's law. And so, but this is the way that Nebuchadnezzar was after these boys. He took these young boys and he wanted to train them. And it says in the scripture that he was going to teach them their language and teach them their culture. In verse 4, the literature of the Chaldeans. All right? And so he tried to change their names, and he did change their names. He wanted to change their identity. Number 3. Daniel made a calculated commitment to God. And it takes place in verse 8. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. The word purposed means to put. It means to evaluate something and you kind of vote on it. You kind of sit there and you look at the ramifications of it and you think about it and then you put it down. You decide, this is what I'm going to do. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So the word purpose there, letter A, means to put. We see it in Acts chapter 19, verse 21. If you want to look at that quickly, Acts chapter 19, verse 21 shows that word used in the New Testament. And it says this, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed, that's the word. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So we see that word used in the New Testament. Folks, that word ought to be used in modern culture as well. Daniel purposed in his heart. He made a decision. Now, I want you to think about Daniel. He grew up during Josiah. Daniel heard Jeremiah. The historians tell us that Jeremiah was preaching when Daniel was a boy. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I grew up hearing great preaching. And I grew up challenged by preaching. Daniel grew up and he heard Habakkuk preach. He heard Jeremiah preach, the weeping prophet preaching. And you can't shake that. You can't shake Bible teaching. When you're in a classroom and you're in the Word of God and the Word of God is doing spiritual surgery, you wonder, does it ever make a difference? I think about all those Sunday school classes at First Baptist Church when I was not saved. My mom would drag me down there and I'd park next to Mae Cohen's. We would park next to Mae Cohen's and we would drive in. It's right there by where City Hall is now, but they had the big picture windows. And man, I loved looking at Mae Cohen's picture windows, you know, with all the stuff they had in there. But I remember hearing all that. You know, I can't tell you all that was said, but all I know is there were people with tears in their eyes telling me the Bible. And I heard preaching with tears and passion about the gospel, and it made an impact. Daniel heard Jeremiah and Habakkuk, but the truth is not many followed. Syncretism ruled the day. Syncretism. S-Y-N-C-R-E-T-I-S-M. Syncretism. What is that? The combining the lifestyle of the world with the religious trappings of the day. Combining the lifestyle of the world with the religious trappings of the day. Getting one foot in the world and one foot in the church. One foot in the world, living the way we want to live apart from God, and yet saying, yes, I'm in the church. Yes, I'm living that way. Yes, I'm in the church. Go back to Exodus. I've got to hurry here. Exodus chapter 34. Find Exodus 34, verse 14. Exodus 34, 14. It says there, the instructions from God say this, "For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you and you eat of his sacrifice." God is a jealous God. God wants us exclusively to love him and to share that message with others. But syncretism ruled the day. But in the midst of it, listen, in the midst of it, there was one young man, Daniel, who purposed in his heart he was not going to compromise. Actually, there were three other ones, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because we read about them later. But Daniel made that commitment, a calculated commitment. And then number four, we'll close here quickly. Daniel made an enduring impact upon his world. You know what I found? You know, I don't have a ton of experience, but I have found that when people take their stand, they're respected. They're respected. Sometimes there are those that make fun. But I'm going to tell you what happened to Daniel. Daniel made an enduring impact on his world. He was respected by three world leaders. We don't have time to read it all. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was involved with him and he respected him. Belshazzar, in chapter 5, verse 29, that's the story of the handwriting on the wall. The handwriting on the wall. And as a result, Daniel was respected. Now, I want you to go to Daniel chapter 6. This is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And Daniel in the lion's den, they tried to trap Daniel. They wanted Daniel to get trapped. And so they made a decree. They came to the king Darius and they said, "Oh king, don't you think it would be wise for you to make a law that if anybody bows down to any other god but you, that they would be thrown to the lions?" And of course, Darius he loved to be bragged on. And so Darius said, "Oh yeah, make that law, make that law." And he signed it according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. We've joked in our family. Sometimes I'll say to the kids, "That's according to the law of the Medes and the Persians." That means there's no debate. That's what that meant. And so Darius signed that into law that you cannot worship any god but him. And then they trapped Daniel. They went and saw him because Every single day, he would bow down before Almighty God and he would worship God. See, he was not a compromiser. He determined he was going to stand for Christ no matter what the cost, no matter what the price he had to pay. He was determined. And so they came and got him. And Darius, who respected him, actually, look at chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Look at this. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of the lions. But listen to what the king said. The king said, but the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he deliver you. The king Darius believed, he was so impressed with the God of Daniel, he was telling Daniel, trying to encourage him and say, God's going to deliver you. Your God will deliver you. But he had to throw him into the lion's den. He hated to do it, but he had to do it. And as a result, look down at verse 25. The Lord just took care of those lions. And in verse 25, it says, King Darius wrote, this was after it all was done, to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom must men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. You can read the rest of that. But I can promise you this. This young boy who heard Jeremiah preach, this young boy who was under the reign of Josiah, made a commitment, a calculated decision that he was purposing in his heart. He stepped back from the situation. He said, you know what? I've evaluated this. I have looked at it. I can either go the way the world wants me to go, and I can do everything that that Nebuchadnezzar wants me to do. I can compromise and go against God's word the way I've been taught my whole life, or I can go with God. And he said, I put it down. I purpose in my heart. He made a decision. It's like to cast a vote. He said, I have purposed in my heart. I will not defile myself with the king's choice food and the other things that he said. And God gave him great favor. He made an enduring impact on the world. So, when I think about Daniel, on that bottom line, here's what I would say would be the one thing, if he could say it to us, just one principle, he would say this: purpose in your heart before the battle. Don't wait till you're in the heat of the moment. You're in business, and you don't know what the future is going to hold for you, but you know what you've decided now? You're saying, I am going to live and conduct myself in business with the ethics that I know God will want me to do. I will not cheat in this business. Then I promise you, when you get into some situation, it'll be much easier for you to take that stand. You don't wait until you're in the heat of the moment to make your decision, to try to say, okay, now what should I do here? No, the lesson of Daniel is you purpose in your heart before the battle. I always go back to this, and I'm just going to just remind you of it because I've told it before. Mickey Mantle, the great baseball player. And by the way, Jamie went to the first game of the World Series in Boston. She's up in Philadelphia, and they were telling me that. What these kids get to do, right? But anyway, Mickey Mantle, such a great, you know, triple crown winner. But you know, he never took a stand for God, and he had the opportunity. He had a problem with alcoholism, and later there was a Sports Illustrated article, one of the saddest things I've ever read in my life from such a great athlete. He said, this was the title on Sports Illustrated, "Don't be like me." Because he talked about losing his kids and he talked about his battles and everything. But there was a guy on that team in the Yankees, for the Yankees, named Bobby Richardson, was a second baseman. And Bobby Richardson was known as a family man, a Christian man. He had made a stand for Christ. Always when I think about purposing in your heart and that you'll be respected, I think about Bobby Richardson, because when Mickey Mantle developed cancer, he asked to see Bobby Richardson. And I know I've been by this place in Dallas, It's Park City's church, and I can't remember if it's which denomination, but it's a big church in Dallas where they had Mickey Mantle's funeral. And I think about all of the times that Richardson probably thought, I wonder if it's worth it. Hey, listen, Mantle gave his life to Jesus Christ at the end of his life. And he had Bobby Richardson share the gospel of Jesus Christ at that funeral. And I can't help but think that Bobby Richardson isn't thinking in his mind, you know, I'm so glad that as a young man, before I entered in all the fame and had all the accolades and won all those World Series, that I'd made up my mind I was going to do what Jesus wanted me to do. You won't go wrong when you purpose in your heart before the battle. You're going to stand for Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.